In verse number 1 of 2 Peter, the Bible said Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained, I love these three words, like precious faith. Like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Pray with me a moment, would you please? Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you for the songs, our Father, that we've had the blessed privilege, Lord, the choir singing and the special singing tonight, Lord, to enjoy. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that, Lord, you'd help us to love you even more dearly than we love you right now. Let our love grow, Lord, to serve you, Lord, more sincerely. God, we ask you to help us that we might see you more clearly in the pages of God's Word. Lord, we pray tonight that you would minister to the families that are hurting. God, that you would help us as a family to pray one for another, to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Father, I thank you for the love that's shed abroad in our hearts, for the manifestation, Lord, of that love that we see in our people's hearts and lives, Lord, from day to day. I pray, Father, tonight, Lord, that our love, as you said in Philippians 1, would increase and abound yet more and more. God, will give you glory. Lord, I pray you'd speak to that individual that's unsaved. And I pray, God, tonight, Lord, that you would help us as Christians to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen and amen. If you look at an overview of 2 Peter, I saw that in chapter number 1, I would see a welcome in the faith, like precious faith. Peter welcomes the people into this writing. In chapter number 2, there's a warning, the warning concerning false prophets. And then in chapter number 3, there's the wonders of our future together as God's people that's spelled out in front of us when our Lord comes. And when the heavens and the earth melt with fervent heat, and the Word of God said there'll be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. What a day, the songwriter wrote down. What a day, what a glorious day that will be. Amen. And until then, God wants us to occupy and serve Him until He comes. I want us to look at several things. I've got 4 things in front of me, but I want to look at them tonight and maybe part of it tonight. But I want to look first of all at the deliverance that's portrayed in the book of 2 Peter. The deliverance that through the pages of this Bible in this one little book is portrayed. And I believe it'll be a blessing to you. You see in chapter number 1 right here, you come into verse 2 when it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus." If you go to chapter number 3 and look at verse number 18, the Bible said, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever." If you go to chapter 2 and verse number 9, in verse number 9, the Bible said, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." You say, "Preacher, why did you point that out?" Here's why. The book begins with grace, and the book ends with grace, and the deliverance that God gives us is all of grace in between. Amen. Sister Patsy, she was testifying a while ago. She wanted to tell us where it all started. Amen. Where the grace of God got a hold of her heart and her life. She put her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not the end. That's just the beginning. Amen. And God wants us to grow in that same grace. And she, like us, is on a journey now. Amen. That is, if you've ever gotten on the journey. Amen. If you've been born again, you're on a journey. Amen. You're somebody going somewhere if you've been saved by the grace of God. Amen. And I believe with all my heart, God wants us to see that deliverance is portrayed by grace. The Bible talks about those being of like precious faith. The Bible talks about in verse number 2 right here, grace and peace be multiplied. The Bible tells us over in the book of 1 Peter, it's not by a corruptible seed, but it's by an incorruptible seed, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever, that you and I have been born from above, that we've been born again. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. There's a deliverance here being portrayed in the book of 2 Peter. There's deliverance for the sinner. There's deliverance from sin. But then we're delivered unto the Savior. Amen. All that happens in the book of 2 Peter. Let me just say this to you tonight. Deliverance doesn't just happen once for all. Yes, as far as being delivered from the penalty of sin, that happens once. Amen. If you've ever been born again, you'll never have to be born again again. Say amen right there. But I tell you, once you're saved by the grace of God, you're delivered from the penalty of sin. But you see, we're on a journey, and now we have to be delivered from the power of sin. That's why the Bible said, give us this day our daily bread. We need the Word of God, not only to deliver us from the penalty of sin, which was hell, but we need the Word of God to deliver us from the power of sin, which is the process of sanctification that we're in. Amen. And thank God one day we'll be delivered from the very presence of sin, and we'll step off in the presence of an almighty God. And what a day, what a glorious day that's going to be. So deliverance in the book of 2 Peter is by grace. Now here's where a lot of people get uncoupled in the Christian life. Not only is it by the grace of God that we're delivered, but we're delivered unto godliness. How many's listening right there? God didn't just save us to keep us out of hell. God saved us so that He could start that day making us like His darling Son. By the way, everybody that's born again is predestinated to become conformed to the image of God's Son. One day we'll be like Jesus. Amen. And He started us on a journey to be like Him unto godliness. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. The Bible said, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. See, God didn't just call us to Himself, that is glory, but God called us to Himself in His holiness, in His righteousness, that we could escape the pollution of this world that we live in. Amen. God don't want us, my friend, to be ungodly. God wants us to be godly. In chapter 1 and verse 6, you find the word godliness. In chapter 1 and verse 7, you find the word godliness again. And I believe in 1 Peter, my friend, God said He's called us to glory. He's called us to virtue. And He wants us to be godly people. How in the world is a sinner going to see Christ in you if all he sees in us is the same thing that's in himself? We need the light. Amen. The Bible said, let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So there's deliverance in the book of 2 Peter. We're delivered by the grace of God. We're delivered, my friend, unto godliness. But then number three, this is just as important. We're delivered by God's Word. Listen, there is no deliverance in the Kingsport Times News. There's no deliverance in Sports Illustrated. There's no deliverance on Channel 5 News or Fox News or whatever news you watch. I hope you don't watch the Communist News Network. You'll get that after a while. Amen. But anyway, they're not going to tell you any truth anyway. Amen. By the way, the Word of God is telling us here. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Where are the promises of God? Somebody tell me. Where are they? They're in the Bible. They're in the Word of God. And the Bible said these promises are given to us that we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Our sister told us about getting up off her knees. She wrote a song. I see things differently now. Amen. That's because another nature came in. Another nature took over. And thank God we see in the light. Amen. Where we used to walk in the darkness. Amen. There's deliverance in the book of 2 Peter. Jesus said it like this. In John 15, He said, you're clean. He actually said, now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. You know, my wife, every once in a while, you know, she'll want to clean something. And hardly ever does she clean something without water. Thank God the Word of God, the washing of water by the Word. Amen. How many can remember a time in your life, I'm talking about you knew you were born again, but you knew as well as you was born again, you knew you weren't clean. How many knows what I'm talking about? It was a mess there. How many remembers what it took to get rid of the mess? The same book that got us in the family, amen, to wash it away, put us back in fellowship with God, and help us to go on another mile for the glory of God. Amen. Oh, we're clean through the Word. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. I tell you one thing, I hope and pray that we won't forget about the revival. That is the importance of just reading and rereading and reading and rereading and reading. Read it again. Read it again. Read it again, because it'll help you the next time. It'll help you the next time. It'll help you the next time. Amen. Read the precious old Word of God. I remember an illustration that goes really good with that. Christmas time. I think I've told you this before. But Christmas time, my daughter's five children, three of them were present. Two of them were coming at a later time. And that day, Christmas Eve, those three wanted to open a Christmas present. And I said, they said, can we open a Christmas present, Papa? I said, go ask your Mama. I'm not going to be the bad guy. Amen. And so Mama said, yeah, you can open one. So I came back in the living room and ran to the Christmas tree. And I said, whoa. I said, youngins, we ain't opening nothing until we read the Bible. Amen. We're going to read about Jesus coming and why he came and what he came for. Amen. And so we read the Christmas story. I said, youngins, you're going to have to listen, because I'm going to ask you some questions. And Charity, she had Aubrey between her knees over at the fireplace. And I found out a little bit later on they were cheating. Charity was whispering the answers into Aubrey's ears. Amen. I thought, that's the brightest little girl I've ever seen in my life. Amen. They were cheating the whole time. Amen. Then finally got through with all that. We had prayer. Turned them loose to go open a gift. Well, at 5 o'clock, the other two children came. And they all ran to the tree, except for Aubrey. Aubrey ran to me and hit me right around the waist and hugged me around the waist. Amen. Here's what she said. She said, can we read it again, Papa? I said, glory to God, honey. I began to weep. I said, boys, Sissy wants to read it again. And the boys wanted to kill Sissy. Say amen. They wanted to open a present. I say, hallelujah, the Word of God's so good. It ought to be our attitude. Can we read it again, Lord? Show us something again, Lord, from the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God. Their deliverance through the Word of God. I'll say this tonight. There's no real deliverance outside of the Word of God. You know how he delivers us from temptation? Same way he did Jesus. Every time that devil come, Jesus said, it is written. It is written. It is written. By the way, let me just say this. If Michael the archangel was no match for the devil, what makes you think you and I are? If he would not bring a railing accusation against the devil, who do we think we are? Amen. I tell you what we better do when the old devil comes. We better tell him what's written in this book. Thank God he can't do anything with it. Amen. It's got more power than what he's got. There's deliverance in the book of 2 Peter. Let me camp right here for just a few minutes tonight. And I believe we'll uncouple and come back Wednesday night. Look here. Now I want you to see something else in the book of 2 Peter. There's deliverance, but the second thing I see is danger. I know this is kindly a stupid illustration, and I know that the younger generation won't have any idea what I'm talking about. But how many of y'all remember a show on television called Lost in Space? How many remembers that? Oh, y'all just told your age, amen. Getting up there, ain't you, Brother Brian? Amen, getting up there. He remembers it, amen. How many remembers that robot and old Will being out there somewhere? Danger, 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 danger. How many remembers that? Amen. You know what? We don't have a robot, but we got the Holy Ghost. And I tell you what the Holy Ghost will do, amen, when we get in a place where we don't belong, he'll start saying danger, danger, danger. There's some dangers in the book of 2 Peter that you and I as God's people need to look out for. Amen. Yes, we're saved by the grace of God. Yes, we're heaven bound. But he wants to destroy our testimony. He wants to destroy our home. He wants to destroy our church. Are you listening to me? He wants to destroy our children. He wants to destroy our grandchildren. He wants to destroy us tonight. He walketh about a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's what he's doing tonight. There's danger in the book of 2 Peter. The first danger that I see in the book of 2 Peter is the danger of forgetting. The danger of forgetting. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at it with me here in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 9. I'm not skipping verse 5 through verse number 8. We'll be back directly. Amen. I'll be back on Tuesday or Wednesday night to that. By the way, this would be a good time to tell you that Wednesday night prayer meeting will be Wednesday night. Amen. Amen. Brother Brian, don't you lose that hearing now, brother. Amen. A while ago, you was having a hard time with that big valley. Amen. Don't you lose that hearing on me. Amen. That'd make us too much alike. Amen. Amen. That's why you're up here, because you can hear. Amen. I love him. Amen. The danger in the book of 2 Peter. The danger number one of forgetting. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. But he that lacketh these things. What things? Well, y'all know what those things add to your faith. Virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge. Y'all know that, don't you? Amen? I mean, memorize that, or at least to some degree. You read it enough times, you will memorize it. Add to your faith, virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, what is it? Patience. Is that right? Is that the next one? Or is it not? Patience. And to patience, temperance. Temperance. And to knowledge, temperance. Temperance. Patience. Patience. Godliness. Godliness. Brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Amen. Boy, I tell you, you won't want to miss Wednesday night. Amen. We're going on a journey right through there. You say, preacher, we done been on that journey. Watch, we're going to go again. Amen. It's going to help us for Saturday morning. Amen. To go on that journey Wednesday night. Amen. And notice the Bible said, if you forget these things, if you lack these things, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Let me just say this to you tonight. There's a whole lot of used to be Sunday school teachers. There's a whole lot of used to sing in the choir. A whole lot of used to stand in the pulpit and break the bread of life. A whole lot of used to be a deacon. A whole lot of used to be faithful to the house of God. I'm talking about people, my friend, a lot of people say, well, they ain't never been born again. I'm not going there. I'm telling you that Peter said, it's possible that you can even forget that you were purged from your old sins. And I tell you, there's the danger in God's people of forgetting where God found you, what he saved you from, and where you're going when you leave this world. When you forget it, you'll become unfaithful. Amen. Listen, God gave me this morning. If there's no other reason in the world, Brother Johnny, no other reason in the world, if there's no other reason to stop and tell somebody along life's way what Jesus means to you and what Jesus has done for you, if there were no other reason, that ought to be reason enough. It'll keep us from forgetting. Amen. It'll keep us remembering what God means to us and what God has done for us in our lives. I don't know about you, but I see a danger of forgetting. You know something? I've been in full-time ministry. Full-time ministry. I'm not harping tonight, but let me say something to you. Anybody that preaches or teaches will tell you, if they're not preaching and teaching, they normally don't study like they do when they are preaching and teaching. I may be honest enough right there. And so I'm trying to tell you that I've been in full-time ministry 25 out of the 27 years that I've been saved. And so I look at my life before I want to harp or anything like that and just tell you, I have to study. I have to pray. I have to seek the mind of God. If you're in the ministry, you have to. You all don't have to, but you need to. Because you can come to a place where you have forgotten. Are you listening? I believe it's possible, even to my friend, when you have to. I believe that's what happens to a lot of preachers. Are you listening to me tonight? I believe, my friend, they study only because they have to, and they don't remember that they get to. They get to preach. They don't have to preach, and they count it as a duty instead of a delight to do the work of God. Amen. So I said all that to say this. Wonder what would happen in my life if I didn't have a place to stand and proclaim the precious word of God. I'm telling you, it's easy to get in a routine and get in a rut. By the way, a rut's nothing but a grave with both ends kicked out of it. That's what a rut is. Amen. God don't want us to be in a rut.
I tell you what, you get on your knees and you start thanking God for coming down here to this earth and saving your never dying soul, dying on that cross of Calvary. You thank Him that He's promised that He's coming back after you one day. It ain't going to be long, and that old cold, callous, hardened heart will warm up and soften up, and God will break it, and tears will run out of your eyes, and you'll find yourself worshiping the King of Kings once again. There's a danger of forgetting. By the way, y'all remember an early on lesson after y'all asked me to come here. An early on lesson said this. I can't remember that song now, but I remember saying this to the church. We'll be all right as long as this preacher remembers he don't deserve to be standing up there. How many's with me right there? And as long as you remember you don't deserve to be sitting where you're sitting either. I tell you that, my friend, without Him, the flames of hell would be licking at every one of us tonight. And that's what we deserve, my friend. But God, in His grace, said, remember where I brought you from. Don't forget. And I'm going to tell you, if we're really going to remember, then we're really going to have to add to our faith. Because if we lack these things, we can come along and forget that we've been purged from our old sins. That's to be a sorry place to be in. Amen. And if we're not in that place tonight, it's by the grace of God we're not in that place tonight. It's by the grace of God. There's a danger in forgetting. No wonder. Let me show you something right here. You see, Peter, Brother Mike pointed out that he was rough. I guess that's some of the reason I enjoyed it so much. Amen. He started talking about his Greek being rough. And I started thinking, Miss Eve, get that. Get that, Miss Eve. Amen. Every English teacher get that. Amen. Preacher's English might be a little rough. Amen. But God give Peter something to do, and He give me something to do. Amen. I'm just aggravating my wife. Y'all get that after a while. Amen. His Greek was rough. It's what we were told. Amen. He wasn't one of them smooth guys like the Apostle Paul. But even Paul said, I'm not going to come to you with enticing words, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Paul wasn't interested, my friend, in his education. He was interested in people seeing the Lord. That's why he said this. He said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus and Him crucified. Amen. What's the danger of forgetting? Peter doesn't only give us the negative side of the coin. If you lack these things, he's forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Peter said, listen, that's not enough. I'm not just going to tell him that. Watch what he says. Turn on down here in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 12. He said, wherefore I will not be negligent. He said, I'm not going to be negligent. Hey, Brother Brian, you ain't got nothing new under the sun to teach in Sunday school, brother. I don't have anything new. We got an old book to preach and teach. Amen. But he said, I'm not going to be negligent. Watch this now. To put you in remembrance of these things. You see that right there? He said, though you know them. If you're not careful, you'll get in this trap. All the time wanting something new. I'm going to tell you right now, if something old don't warm your heart, something new probably won't either. Amen. I tell you, that's why a lot of people want a new record. You know what I'm talking about. Something that thumps real good. Something that'll make your feet go like that, but it won't do anything for your heart. That's why we've got a contemporary movement. That's why we got a feel-good, charismatic movement. Are you listening to me tonight? The old's not good enough anymore. I say, give me that old book. Give me that old-time religion. Peter said, not be negligent to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Though you know these things, you already know them. But he said, I'm going to keep a stirring. I'm going to keep a stirring. You know something? We experienced this a little while back. We were over here doing some painting. And we had one bucket of paint over there. How many knows there's differences in paint? Amen. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to tell you the brand not to buy. But if you want to know after church, come to me and I'll tell you. Amen. I'm telling you what's the truth. It about caused Brother Houston to lose his religion. Amen. Only reason he didn't is afraid I'd say, I've noticed that about you. That's the only reason he didn't do it. Amen. There was a bucket over there, and I'm telling you, if you just let that bucket, Brother Grizzle, sit for 5 minutes, stuff would gather on top of it. You'd have to stir it again. You'd have to stir it again. How many knows all of God's people are different? Some need to be stirred a little more often than others. Say amen right there. We're all different, amen? We're not all in the same bucket. We're not all in the same mold. Some preachers like act like everybody ought to be like them. I want to just go on record as saying, I'm glad everybody ain't like me. Amen? We ought to try to be like him, amen? Not try to be like one another. And so stir. You'd have to stir. He said, preacher, why did you have to stir? Because if you didn't stir, it didn't do a good job. I mean, he's with me. You want to know why a lot of God's people quit? Because it's been a long time since they've been stirred. You want to know why a lot of God's people don't do a good job? It's been a long time since the Holy Ghost stuck the stick. You say, what stick? Calvary's stick. The cross down in their heart. And stirred them up by way of remembrance. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, if that cross don't stir you, there's no hope for you. Amen. It'll stir you up. Watch this now. There's the danger in forgetting. Peter said, I'm going to stir you up. Notice verse number 13. He said, yea, I think it meet. That word means necessary. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. He don't only have the negative side, don't you know, about forgetting. But he says, long as I'm living, long as I'm in this body, Jesus had already told him shortly he was going off. He said, I'm going to stir till I can't breathe and I can't stir anymore. He said, I'm just going to keep stirring. Thank God for that pastor, that man of God. It stayed here for over 30 years stirring. He stirred and he stirred and he stirred some more because, my friend, he wanted to leave the scene stirring. God's people. Brother Rightly Salin was the same way. He said, I want to die, my friend, listen, in the field. I want to stay in the field till the sun goes down. Just keep stirring. Keep stirring. There's the danger of forgetting. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. He said, this second epistle, beloved, isn't that a beautiful term? A beautiful term for the man of God to call the people of God beloved. He said, there's a reason I wrote this whole second epistle, Brother Johnny. He said, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say I read it and I read it and I read it and I read it again. Let me borrow your stick, brother. And every time I read it, he said, I wrote that whole thing to keep you stirred. I'm telling you right now, how many's ever made apple butter? Amen. There has to be a constant stir for it to come out right. Say amen. I believe Peter says it right. He says, I don't want you to forget. In verse number 1, he said, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds. Now watch this. I was a little bit bothered in that paint job by something. Hey, Brother Rick, when'd you come in, brother? Amen. Amen. Good to see you. I was a little bit bothered in that paint job by something. You say, preacher, what bothered you? Well, I'm going to tell you if you'll listen. How many's listening? There was an old can of paint. I don't know how old it was. I think it was 2008, wasn't it, brother? Wasn't that the date that it had on it? And when I popped the lid on it, guess what I found? Rust. It was almost a full gallon of paint. But when I popped that lid, that rust separated and part of it fell off in the paint. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you believe that Pastor just grabbed the paddle and went to stirring? How many's with me right here? What did I do first? I found me a cup. And I went to trying to drag that junk off the top. How many's with me right here? You say, preacher, been a long time since I've been stirred. Let me just say it like this. There may be some junk that needs to be scooped off the top. There may be some rust that don't belong there. Amen. Peter said, listen, I want to stir up your pure minds. And if we're not thinking about the right things, looking at the right things, listening to the right things, then no wonder he can't stir us up. Amen. He said, I wrote a whole book. I'll try to leave your stick alone now, brother. Amen. Listen, he said, I wrote a whole book with 1 in 10 to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. I've been saved 27 years. He said, preacher, why'd you say that? Because I want to say this. I would to God that I could tell you that in 27 years, my mind has always been pure. Is there anybody with me in that statement? Is there anybody home? Is there anybody could say, preacher, I'm with you right there. There was a time in my life, or maybe several times in my life, when there was garbage that needed to be skimmed off. But you come to a church service, or you got in the prayer closet. All of a sudden, it felt like your prayers wasn't getting out of the closet. And God said, listen, there's a problem here. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And he has to bring that ladle and scoop some stuff off. Well, I tell you what, I'm glad I know what it is for him to scoop it. But I'm also glad, well, I know what it is for him to stir it. Amen. To stir. That might be a dumb illustration, but I found out a long time ago when I think it's dumb, the Holy Ghost is probably going to use it. Amen. I tell you that we need to get the rust off the top. Amen. And we need to get the dregs out. There's a danger in the book of 2 Peter. Danger of forgetting. Let me give you one more thing, and I'm just halfway through the second thing. Let me give you one more thing tonight. There's another danger in the book of 2 Peter. That's the danger of false prophets. Let me show you what I mean. The Bible said here in chapter 2 and verse 1, but there were false prophets also at the bar room. Is that what it said? There were false prophets also down there where you work. Is that what it said? False prophets at the gas station. Is that what it said? False prophets at Walmart. Is that what it said? Oh, I know it's Walgreens. No, it's CVS. No, that's what it says. It says among the people. Let me tell you something about the enemy. He knows where he wants his false prophets. He knows where he wants his tares. He's not interested in doing anything down at the bar room. He's got them people. He's not interested in doing anything down at the house of ill repute. He's got them people. But I tell you where he wants to plant them. Among the people. Amen. Among the people. You say, preacher, what are you doing? I'm just sounding a warning. Peter did. Amen. The Bible said there's a danger, not only of forgetting, but there's the danger of false prophets. Let's look at a couple things right here together. Look at it with me, please. Notice this. He said, they're among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Watch this. Who privately. That's a word, you know, that goes along with the word privately. In secret. Behind the scenes. Nobody just comes into a church and marches up to the communion table and says, I'm here to announce I've got some false doctrine that I want to spread among the people at this church. No, no, no. They sneak in. I mean, he's with me. But you can read it over there in the book of Jude. Here's what the Bible said. They crept in unawares. That's what the Word of God said. I'm going to tell you what we need to do at Bible Way. We need to keep our eyes open. We need to keep our ears open. We need to keep our heart open. Because we're not going very far down this road. Till that old devil is going to have somebody try to creep in. Amen. And they're going to be denying the Word of God. Are you listening to me? Trying to cause people to doubt the Word of God. But I'm telling you right now, God said they're false prophets. And you say, preacher, what do you get out of that word crept in? Well, let me just give it to you. How many of y'all like snakes? I don't have any in a box. Amen. I don't like them. I believe in handling them with a hoe, a shovel, a .22, a shotgun, whatever you get your hands on. Amen. I believe in handling them. There was a little one out here on the road the other day, and I wouldn't even reach down and pick it up. I believe it was already dead, but you can just scoop one of them things in your feet, and it acts like it's alive again. It wasn't longer than a night crawler, and I just put it to the curb like that. I ain't reaching down getting a hold of that thing. The Bible said they crept in unawares. I remember watching over here. Let's see, where am I at? Right over here, right out in front of the camper across the parking lot. I remember watching a snake. It was, and this was a bigger one. I think, according to what my son told me, that it was a racer. He asked me, he said, Dad, did he keep his head down or did he lift his head up? It was a black snake. And I said, son, the grass was about that deep. And I said, all you could see was his head going through there. He kept his head up. He said, Dad, that was a racer. And I said, son, that means he's probably faster than I was. He said, yeah, that's probably right. Amen. My racing days are over. Say amen. But you know what he said? He said, Dad, he said, them things are fast. He said, they're very, very fast, that black racer. Here's what I want to give you. When I got that crept in, they hide out in the grass. When a snake crawls out across the sidewalk, everybody can see it. I remembered something when God was showing me this in the Word of God that my grandfather said years ago. My grandmother took my grandfather to hear the pastor at the church where my grandmother was going. Now, you listen to me. You take it for whatever it's worth. My grandmother was just so excited about the new pastor. And she said, you got to come with me. My grandpa's one of them old timers. Amen. One of them old time preachers. Amen. And my grandfather went and he listened. And my grandmother said after service, said, what did you think? He said, do you really want to know? And she said, yeah, I really want to know. Here's what grandpa said. Said he's a snake in the grass. Now, you say you would say that about a man in the pulpit? Well, evidently, my grandpa didn't have a lot of education, but he had some pretty good discernment. And it didn't take but 2 or 3 months till the snake crawled out of the grass and everybody could see him. Are y'all listening to me tonight? I'm telling you, my friend, that listen, the devil wants the false prophet among the people. He's not going to come in and announce that he's here. He'll crawl in the grass until the time comes to raise that old head up. Let me tell you something tonight. There's a danger. A danger. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Well, I was looking as I come back across the road. And there's a Kingdom Hall over here on 23. A new one they built. I'm not going to tell you what my wife said. But anyway, they had a little sign up that said JW.org. You say, me, what do you mean, preacher? What are you trying to say? I mean, knows what JW stands for. I'm not talking about Brother DePew. I'm talking about that religious outfit that calls themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. Let me tell you something about when they come in your house. I mean, knows I'm going to tell it right. When they come in, they're smooth. Honey, I'm telling you, they want you to think that y'all believe the same Bible. You believe the same way. They're smooth talkers. What are they doing? I tell you what they're doing. They're crawling in the grass. And you give them 3 or 4 visits and they'll begin to stick their head up. And they'll begin to tell you, well, now that's your Bible and we kind of use that Bible, but here's the Bible that we really need to use, that New World Translation. You say, preacher, I don't get why you're saying this. I'm telling you, my friend, listen, every one of us needs to understand that there's going to be false prophets and they're going to be among the people. And we need to keep our eyes open, our ears open. And we need to realize, my friend, that everything that comes in our eyes and through our ears needs to be checked by the Word of the living God. I'm going to tell you what, while Brother Mike was here, he nailed a lot of things, didn't he? Amen? You say, preacher, why would a man of God do that? I'll tell you why. Because he loves us. Because he's warning us. Because he's been all over this country that we live in. And he's watched good churches be destroyed by false prophets and false doctrine. Amen? How many remembers? You know, I thought about this morning. Listen to me. I couldn't help but think about it. I was on my way to Wise. I thought about this. How many remembers that night when he got on that hyper-Calvinism? And he got on that tool. How many remembers that? You know what I got to thinking, Brother John? This will bless your heart. They can have the tulip. Just give me the rose of Sharon. Just give me the lily in the valley. You can have the tulip, buddy. Just give me Jesus. He died for everybody. Amen. Loves everybody. Will save anybody that'll come to him. Amen. You say, preacher, what about this? Watch this, please. Help me. Watch this. Look at verse number 3. Well, look at verse 2. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. You say, preacher, what are the false prophets all about? Same thing that the Book of the Month Club, when they write a new Bible every month, same thing it's all about, money. Amen. You can take that King James Bible set up a printing press over here in the old fellowship hall or our fellowship hall out here in one of these Sunday school rooms. You can print it and print it and print it and print it. And I'm telling you what, you can give it away and give it away and give it away. And ain't nobody going to say anything about it. I dare you to try that with one of the others. They're copywritten. You say, why, preacher? I'll tell you why. That right there. That right there. And listen, if you're guilty, I'm sorry for you. But there's a lot of people in America. Every time one comes out, they got to run down there and buy one of them. I say, give me the old book. I say, give me the old book. I say, give me the old book. If you don't like that, I'm sorry for you. I'm standing by the old book. When the majority of this crowd ever decides they don't want to stand by the old book, you made another decision at the same time. You want another man. Say amen. Come, let's stand by the old book. Amen. I don't want the new music. I don't want the new book. I don't want the new way. Stand ye in the way and ask for the old paths. And the Bible said there, the children of Israel said, we will not walk therein. If you're with me, Bible way, say, we will walk therein. The danger of false prophets. There's deliverance in the book of 2 Peter. There's danger in the book of 2 Peter. Let me just give you this, and I'm trying to quit. I'm just halfway through the second thing, but we'll get all right, won't we? Watch this now. Watch this. Lord, give me this morning. Brother Grizzle, here's how it goes in the modern church. Come as you are. Stay as you are. Leave as you are. But I want to add something to that. You'll die as you are. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. How many knows that if a sinner dies a sinner, he's in trouble with a holy God? And oh, we've got them. We've got them. We've got churches everywhere. They call them mega churches. I call them mega messes. Say amen right there. I just got a little old newspaper article I started reading a while ago, and Brother Gary come in the office and it talked about somebody being over at ETSU saying that people were WHORESs. Well, you know what you can do? You can quote Bible. Amen. The Bible said marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. We got a generation that don't want to hear anything like that. We got a generation. I was over in Virginia preaching this morning. I told Brother Larry, I said, Brother Larry, you better make up your mind. I said, ain't going to be long. They're going to come through them doors and say, man and a man, marry us. Woman and a woman, marry us. You say, preacher, we've got that taken care of in our Constitution. I personally believe the day will come when their Constitution will take precedence over our Constitution in their eyes. Amen. But let me just go ahead and serve notice tonight. We ain't doing that around here. Amen. We'll shut the doors. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll go over on a hillside somewhere, cut us down a tree, sit on a log, and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and have a good time worshiping the Lord. Amen. God's people were worshiping a long time before we had nice buildings. Say amen. Amen. I appreciate a nice building. I appreciate air conditioning. I appreciate everything God's given us. But I tell you, if you take that away, there ought to be something down in our heart that says, we're going on anyway. You say, preacher, you got any Bible for that? Well, how about this? How many members what they put John away for? The Word of God and His testimony. Is that right or is that wrong? But when they put him out there on the Isle of Patmos, they aimed to do him harm. But you know what they did? You like that, don't you, Brother Sam? All they done is help him. He got closer to God than he ever had been. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I heard behind me the voice. Oh, he saw him. He heard him. And he had a wonderful time. Without a pretty building, he had a wonderful time. There's a danger. Of false prophets. The danger of somebody teaching things that's contrary to that blessed old book. I'm going to tell you something right now. I hope you're with me right here. But if I find that out, there's going to be trouble. Going to be trouble. Amen. Let me just go ahead and say it like this. I'd rather have trouble in the camp than I would sin in the camp. Say amen. I sure would. We'll get past the trouble. Amen. Beware. Peter says, there's a danger. There's a danger of forgetting. There's the danger of false prophets. I want you to understand this tonight. He said they came in privily, privately. The Bible said in the book of Jude, Brother Mike wonderfully told us when he was here. I didn't know that. I didn't know, Brother Johnny, how 2 Peter chapter 2 parallels the book of Jude. But you can read it right there. It is. Same author, same Holy Spirit. There's a danger. How many's glad you've been delivered tonight? Found that in the book of 2 Peter, didn't you? Amen. We've been delivered. We're being delivered. How many's glad we're being delivered? How many's glad one day, thank God, this old body's going to be delivered? We're waiting the redemption of the body. How many believes tonight we need to keep our eyes open? We need to keep our ears open. We need to understand tonight. Let me just go ahead and say it to you like this. Everybody that puts one of these under their arm and sits in a pew is not a Christian. How many's with me? Now, if you're saved, that statement don't bother you nary bit. Everybody puts one of these under their arm and gets behind the pulpit's not a preacher either. Say amen. It's the truth. A lot of people are shocked when things happen because they never had that truth settled in their heart. They think everybody that puts one of these under their arm, goes to church, sits in a pew, is a child of God. They think every man that gets up, Brother Brian, that'd go for teaching too, just because you got up there with the Bible. But you know how I know, brother, that you're right? Because you go by the book. That's the only way we can know. Only way you know, you've got no business judging your pastor on his personality. Amen? It ought to be by the book. If Peter said there's a danger of false prophets, it ought to be all right for the preacher to preach it. Amen? Amen. Amen. A danger in our day, especially in our day. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me carefully. Things are going well around here. How many knows that the devil ain't going to sit still for that? How many knows that? Amen. It'd just be a matter of time and he'll rear his ugly head. He'll rear his ugly head. And sometimes God gives us scripture so that we'll be ready. That we'll understand that danger was imminent. Amen. Listen tonight. God loved us enough to give us the truth. I want to love him enough to read his truth. I want to love him enough to obey his truth. Truth will transform our lives. I gave Brother Wayne a couple of Bibles a while ago to carry to the jail. He said, Preacher, why would you send a Bible to the jail? Because it'll work in the jail just the same as it works in the church. If a man will get in the Word of God in the jail, he can get delivered from the jail. Amen. The jailer did. Amen. Didn't he? He got saved. How many's glad you come tonight? How many's glad you heard this good singing tonight? Amen. Heard the Word of God tonight. Amen. Tonight, there's a danger. Let's pray. Father, thank you for deliverance. Thank you, Lord, for helping us tonight to see in the Word of God there is danger. There is danger. Our children, Lord, when they go to school, they're walking on dangerous grounds. We're seeing people here in America now, Lord, cut people's heads off because of false doctrine, because of false teachers, because of people that are being led away with the error of the wicked. God, I pray tonight you'd guard our families. Lord, I pray tonight you'd guard our church. I pray tonight, Lord, you'd guard my precious wife and our home. I pray, God, tonight, you'd put a hedge of protection around us. And I pray, God, tonight that, Lord, the book of 2 Peter would just keep stirring in our hearts for days and months to come. And, Lord, when we look in another book, that it too will stir our hearts. Lord, if there's something that needs to be scooped off tonight, some kind of junk that don't belong in the paint, some kind of junk that don't belong in our minds, I pray, God, we'd yield that to you tonight. Let the Holy Spirit of God cleanse that and scoop that mess off that you might stir us up. by way of remembrance. Father, thank you for our people. Lord, there's a wonderful crowd here tonight. But Lord, more importantly than a wonderful crowd is a wonderful spirit. Thank you, God, for each one that's prayed for us today. Each one that's praying for our church and for our deacons and for our teachers. Thank you, God, for each one that's praying for each facet of the ministry here. For those, Lord, that are praying for the van ministry and the children's church, I pray, God, that you would help us all, Lord, to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Soon you'll come and take us home.